Widy look to your dean, young snivelment. The magic's gone out of this place, you said so yourself. And would he not know? Why, they must be all of, I don't know, 25?
Snickers from the Manny, who were close enough to hear this jape, several of them not yet 25 themselves. Furious with the old bastard, and with himself as well, Eddie reached into the box. Henchick stayed his hand.
Touch not the bob itself. Not if thee'd keep thy cream in on one side and thy crap on the other. By the chain, do ye ken it?
Eddie almost reached for the bob anyway. He'd already made a fool of himself in front of these people. There was really no reason not to finish the job, but he looked into Jake's grave gray eyes and changed his mind. The wind was blowing hard up here, chilling the sweat of the climb on his skin, making him shiver. Eddie reached forward again, took hold of the chain, and gingerly unwound it from the plug.
"Lift him out,"
Henchick said. "What'll happen?" Henchick nodded as if Eddie had finally talked some sense.
"That's to see. Lift him out."
Eddie did so. Given the obvious effort with which the two young men had been carrying the box, he was astounded at how light the bob was. Lifting it was like lifting a feather which had been attached to a 4-foot length of fine link chain. He looped the chain over the back of his fingers and held his hand in front of his eyes. He looked a little like a man about to make a puppet caper. Eddie was about to ask Henchick again what the old man expected to happen, but before he could, the bob began to sway back and forth in modest arcs. "I'm not doing that," Eddie said. "At least I don't think I am. It must be the wind." "I don't think it can be," Callahan said. "There are no flukes to—" "Hush," Cantab said, and with such a forbidding look that Callahan did hush. Eddie stood in front of the cave, with all the Arroyo country and most of Calabrin Sturgis spread out below him. Dreaming blue-gray in the far distance was the forest through which they had come to get here, the last vestige of mid-world where they would never go more. The wind gusted, blowing his hair back from his forehead, and suddenly he heard a humming sound. Except he didn't. The humming was inside the hand in front of his eyes, the one with the chain lying upon the spread fingers. It was in his arm, and most of all, in his head. At the far end of the chain, at about the height of Eddie's right knee, the bob's swing grew more pronounced and became the arc of a pendulum. Eddie realized a strange thing. Each time the bob reached the end of its swing, it grew heavier. It was like holding onto something that was being pulled by some extraordinary centrifugal force. The arc grew longer, the bob swings faster, the pull at the end of each swing stronger, and then, "Eddie," Jake called, somewhere between concern and delight, "do you see?" Of course he did. Now the bob was growing dim at the end of each swing. The downward pressure on his arm, the bob's weight, was rapidly growing stronger as this happened. He had to support his right arm with his left hand in order to maintain his grip, and now he was also swaying at the hips with the swing of the bob. Eddie suddenly remembered where he was, roughly 700 feet above the ground. This baby would shortly yank him right over the side if it wasn't stopped. What if he couldn't get the chain off his hand? The plumb bob swung to the right, tracing the shape of an invisible smile in the air, gaining weight as it rose toward the end of its arc. All at once, the puny piece of wood he'd lifted from its box with such ease seemed to weigh 60, 80, 100 pounds. And as it paused at the end of its arc, momentarily balanced between motion and gravity, he realized he could see the east road through it, not just clearly, but magnified. Then the branny bob started back down again, plummeting, shedding weight. But when it started up again, this time to his left, "Okay, I get the point," Eddie shouted. "Get it off me, Henchick. At least make it stop." Henchick uttered a single word, one so guttural it sounded like something yanked from a mud flat. The bob didn't slow through a series of diminishing arcs, but simply quit, again hanging beside Eddie's knee with the tip pointing at his foot. For a moment, the humming in his arm and head continued. Then that also quit. When it did, The Bob's disquieting sense of weight lifted. The damn thing was once more feather light.